another soon-to-be-admitted state, Kansas, teetered for a while in the late 1850s as northern emigrants vied with pro-slavery forces from adjacent Missouri to pass a suitable constitution. The first version, the so-called Lecompton Constitution, favorable to slavery, was accepted by President James Buchanan but disdained by Congress because of fraud. A second popular vote, held in 1858, rejected the pro-slavery agreement, 13,088 to 11,300. Finally, in 1861, after secession, when Southern senators and representatives had gone home, the new Northern Congress admitted Kansas as a free state. The last group of eventual states caught up in the western side currents of the Civil War held only territorial status at the time: Colorado, Utah, Nevada, Idaho, and Montana. Utah was Democratic-leaning, hostile to New Englanders who damned its controlling Mormons for their pro-slavery and polygamist inclinations. Elsewhere in the Rocky Mountains, immigrants by the tens of thousands clumped around the only destinations lucrative enough to outweigh Indian perils: rich veins of gold, silver, copper, and lead. The 1850s had seen gold strikes in Oregon, and 1859 brought a bigger one in Colorado, centered on Denver. More rich lodes were found in 1860 in Idaho's Clearwater and Salmon Valleys, followed by even richer ones in western Montana, where creeks such as Grasshopper, Stinking Water, and Alder Gulch became legendary and notorious. In 1863, the 17-mile length of Alder Gulch's gravel bars was reported to have 10,000 miners, and on its steep banks were four cities with names famous in mining history: Virginia, Nevada, Central, and Summit. Besides gold and silver, a further opportunity lay in fleeing the hazards of Bull Run, Shiloh, and Antietam. The mining camps had their Unionists, but they also had their Southern sympathizers, and Democrats were in the majority. Many miners from both sides in the Civil War had come to the mines to escape military conscription, but they gallantly defended their homelands and causes with toasts, torchlight parades, and fistfights on Saturday night. So substantial were the numbers that the governor of Iowa called for patrols at the Missouri River crossings to catch evaders fleeing west. Although the western territories were under nominal Washington control, law enforcement was slack, especially in the rowdy mining camps. During the war, wrote historian Earl Pomeroy, the Lincoln administration treated the Far West as tactfully as it had treated the border states early in 1861. The president never applied the draft west of Iowa and Kansas, apparently considering that it was not expedient to draw more men from the West Coast than had volunteered. The Army feared it would waste its strength tracking draft dodgers and deserters through the backcountry, and Western businessmen repeatedly expressed fear of secessionist uprisings. Montana and Idaho, part of Washington Territory until 1863, and Colorado had large southern populations. Virginia City, in present-day Montana, had at first been called Verena City, after Jefferson Davis's wife, but a local judge changed the name. Other sites included Dixie, Fort Sumter, and Confederate Gulch, the mining center of the Big Belt Mountains. By one estimate, nearly 80% of the population had secessionist sympathies, and Republicans in the territorial administration brought in wagon trains of emigrants from St. Paul, Minnesota, to help maintain control. One particular fear was of plots to ship gold to the South. In Colorado, Republican Governor William Gilpin, charged with keeping Colorado loyal to the Union, wrote to authorities in Washington that 7,500 people, almost one-third of the population of Denver and the mining camps, were Confederate sympathizers. In addition, noted historian Alvin Josephy in The Civil War in the American West, Colorado was stirred constantly by reports of pro-Confederate plots, many of them real. Several well-known Southern sympathizers organized bands of followers to try to join the Confederates in Texas. Still another group of secessionists congregated secretly at Mace's Hole, a hideout south of the Arkansas River, and tried to organize themselves into a Confederate regiment. Had the Confederate troops won at La Glorieta Pass in 1862, they might have continued on to the Colorado gold fields.